I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My first guest, Dr. Lise Altschuler, is a naturopathic doctor with board certification in naturopathic oncology and has been practicing since 1994. She graduated from Brown University with an undergraduate degree in medical anthropology and received a doctoral degree in naturopathic medicine from Vassar University. Dr. Altschuler is past president of the American Association of Naturopathic Physicians and a founding board member and current president of the Oncology Association of Naturopathic Physicians. She also currently serves as president emeriti on the board of the Naturopathic Postgraduate Association. Dr. Altschuler works as an independent consultant in the area of practitioner and consumer health education. She is the executive director of the TAP Integration, a nonprofit educational resource for integrative practitioners. She maintains a naturopathic oncology practice out of naturopathic specialist based in Scottsdale, Arizona. Previously, she was the department head of naturopathic medicine at the Midwestern Regional Medical Center, Cancer Treatment Centers of America. She was also the clinic medical director and botanical medical chair at Vassar. As well, she was on the faculty of Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine. The American Association of Naturopathic Physicians recognized Dr. Altschuler in 2014 as Physician of the Year. She also received an honorary degree from the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine and the Joseph Pizzorno Founders Award from Vassar University in the same year. Dr. Altschuler is the co-author of The Definitive Guide of Cancer and The Definitive Guide to Thrive After Cancer. She co-created www.5tothriveplan.com and co-hosts a radio show, 5 to Thrive Live, on the Cancer Support Network about living more healthfully in the face of cancer. She calls Tucson, Arizona, and Chicago, Illinois home. Learn more at www.drlise.net. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dr. Altschuler, and I look forward to hearing about your current concepts and practice with cancer. Now, you say we should be concerned about prevention. Can you tell me why we should be concerned about cancer prevention?
Most definitely. So the first thing that question implies is that there is actually a preventable component to cancer. And that is very true. You know, this was actually quite debated for a long time, and still some oncologists believe that cancer is inevitable. If you're going to get it, you're going to get it. There's nothing you can do. But that's really very far from the truth. We can't reduce our risk to zero. We can't do that. But what we can do is we can lower our risk. So if for whatever reason our risk is at a certain percent, and yes, there's some chance that goes in there, but there are some things we can do in our lifestyle to lower that risk dramatically. We can cut our risk in half through exercise. We can cut it another third through diet. So we can make a big impact in how we live our life. And it's important because cancer is on the rise. The number of diagnoses of cancer is expected to increase by 45% over the next 20 years. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, is both because we're aging as population. The longer we hang around on the planet, the greater our likelihood of developing chronic disease, cancer included. It's also because our planet is becoming increasingly toxic. It's also because we're detecting cancer at an earlier stage. So there's lots of reasons to explain the rate of increase, but the reality is that one out of every two men, one out of every three women will develop cancer in their lifetime. So that should really sort of light the fire under our feet to do everything we can to try to reduce our risk, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think most of that is up to the individual, that we don't always get much help from our physicians. So that's my personal opinion. So I think that the education that you're doing and other people are doing is so important because, as I say, I think any time people should assume a lot of responsibility for their own health. So I think it's important that there is education out there for them to use if they so desire. And then,
yes,
Dr. Altshuler, can you tell us about your personal connection to cancer?
Yeah, I can. So first of all, I lost my father to pancreatic cancer. He was only 66 when he passed away, and he was given, when he was diagnosed, as are many people who are diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, a very poor prognosis. He was told he had about 3 months to live when he was diagnosed, and at the time, I was working in a cancer hospital, and so I got a look at his scans, and I agreed. He had a very poor prognosis. The cancer had spread throughout his lymphatic system. It was in his liver, and so he probably did have a very short lifespan. But as it turned out, my father utilized an integrative approach, and he ended up actually living 17 months before he passed away. But what was most remarkable about that period of time is that he lived very healthfully. In fact, about a year after he was diagnosed, he and I were sitting together enjoying a nice cup of green tea, and he turned to me and he said, you know, I just want to thank you because you've really helped me in my fight against this disease, and I have felt healthier over this last year than I felt for, you know, a decade before. And so that was really the gift of my father in many ways. He taught me a lot and showed what the power can be even in a very dire circumstance of pancreatic cancer in terms of improving quality and quantity of life. Then, unfortunately, after he passed away 2 years later, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And although it was an early stage of breast cancer, there were certain characteristics that I decided, with the advice of many oncologists, to receive conventional treatment. So I went through chemotherapy. I also had I had surgery first. I had chemotherapy. I had radiation therapy. And then I had hormonal therapy. But again, like my father, I utilized an integrative approach. So I utilized my lifestyle, dietary supplements throughout that entire time. And as a result, even though I did experience some side effects, I recovered from them very quickly. And when I was done with treatment, I felt fully vital. And so I always felt like a healthy person throughout that entire course of events, and continue, of course, I'm a naturopathic doctor, so I walk my talk as best I can, and I continue to utilize lifestyle and supplementation to reduce my risk of recurrence. You know, is my risk down to zero? Of course not, but I believe that I'm reducing it as much as I can through my lifestyle and still enjoying life. And so, yeah, I have quite a personal connection, and that has really informed a lot of my work, my perspectives, my motivation to continue to help people who are affected by this disease.
I think so often people overcome cancer initially, and then they think, well, that's the end of it, so they ease up on everything, and then frequently there's a recurrence. So can you tell us a little bit more about, you know, some specifics, because it's been quite a while now with you, hasn't it? And you've had no recurrence. So what type of diet are you on? Could you tell us?
So, yeah, so it's a good question. And a lot of people start right there with diet. And I will talk about diet, but I have to say that of all the prevention strategies that I have in place, I believe the most impactful one, the most important one, is exercise. There's, you know, that has probably the most tremendous benefit. But diet makes sense to start there because it's something we all engage in multiple times every day. And so the food that we eat obviously affects how our bodies function. Food is not just calories, it's information. There are molecules in food which ultimately get absorbed, and they act as bits of information to our cells, and they inform our cells. And how our cells respond to that information will in turn change the way they behave and ultimately move us along the continuum, either toward disease if we're not eating well, or towards health if we're eating good, healthy food. So if we think about food as information, we want to give ourselves really good messages. And the most of those messages fundamentally come from a plant-based diet.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's really across all the diets that are out there that have purported cancer prevention benefits. The common denominator clearly is a plant-based diet. So mm-hmm. eating as many different kinds of plant foods, vegetables, fruits, grains as possible, and as many colors, particularly of vegetables and fruits, because the colored quality of fruits and vegetables comes from compounds called flavonoids, and these are unique to the plant kingdom, and they are what are in plant food that help plants protect themselves against the oxidative stress of sunlight. If you think mm-hmm. about it, plants are sitting out there all day long exposed to this radiation from the sun, and yet they don't all develop cancer, right? So mm-hmm. how do they do that? They prevent that damage by being chock full of carotenoids and flavonoids. And those compounds in the plants actually give them a layer of protection against the oxidative stress of the sun's radiation. And when we eat plants, we eat those chemicals. And they actually have the same function in our own bodies. They help protect us against various cancer-causing oxidative stressors mm-hmm. from our environment. And we can only get those compounds when we eat plants. There's no way to get them otherwise. We can supplement with isolated flavonoids, which is certainly helpful, but really we have to eat plants. So mm-hmm. that's by far the most important thing. And everything else with regards to diet is kind of little nuances here and there, mm-hmm. but that can kind of make it a little better or more impactful. You know, for example, there's more and more data now coming out that suggests that we need to make sure we're not eating too much simple carbohydrate, that mm-hmm. when we look at the amount of fat, the amount of protein, and the amount of carbohydrate in our diet, if we have too much refined carbohydrate, so that comes from processed grains and sugars,
mm-hmm.
then we imbalance our body's ability to manage the sugar balance in our body, and we actually end up feeding into a response called insulin resistance, mm-hmm. which is sort of a pre-diabetic condition and is now tightly linked with increased risk of various cancers. So mm-hmm. rolling that back, it becomes very important to look at the kind of the big macro balance of our diet. Do we have, are most of our carbohydrates coming from unrefined mm-hmm. plant-based foods? Mm-hmm. We can have some grains, but they should not be the main part mm-hmm. of our diet. If we look at a plate, when we divide up the plate, we want mostly plants on that plate. Maybe 50% of the plate is filled up with plant-based foods. We can have some whole grains there, but there shouldn't be too much. We want to have good quality fats. Those are very important to our immune system. They reduce inflammation, so that means maybe we have some olive oil in our salad dressing. Maybe we've cooked some grains using a little coconut oil. Maybe we have some avocado oil mixed in. And then we want high-quality protein. Mm-hmm. which can come from plant-based foods like tofu, or it can come from grass-fed or pasture-fed animal meat or legumes. And that's really the kind of perfect plate that mm-hmm. we want to mm-hmm. look down on as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Altshuler, what are your views on raw versus cooked plant-based diets?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a good question, and again, there's a lot more theory about that than there is fact, but mm-hmm. here's mm-hmm. what I would say about that. So first of all, I think it's very important to eat some raw plant foods, because mm-hmm. when we eat raw plants, there are certain enzymes that are intact in the plant that facilitate our ability to digest mm-hmm. those plant-based foods and get the nutrients out. We also know that when we eat raw plant foods, we tend to have more of the vitamins in their intact form, so that there is a higher nutritional value to the foods in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
But we also know that cooked plant food is also very healthy for us. There are some for example, if you take some dark greens, some kale and collard, and you steam the greens, you start to break the cell walls of the that are contained within those plant foods, and you actually release the nutrients, so your body is better able to absorb some of those compounds. So mm-hmm. actually cooking plant food is also very healthy. And if we go back millennia and we look at our ancestors, as soon as we developed fire, we started to cook some of our foods. And mm-hmm. So we've grown up, evolutionarily speaking, with our bodies eating both raw and cooked foods, and we can digest both. We get different kind of nutrient profiles from those ways of preparation, and I frankly think that both are good. I don't think you have to eat 100% raw.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When I had lung cancer, as you know, 41 years ago, I think my doctor had me on 90% raw and then the cooked beyond that. And I was on a plant-based diet then. And I've come full cycle because I now have a atrial fibrillation. And at least Dr. Eschelstein believes that the plant-based diet is the best diet for that, for any type of heart condition, even though others don't agree with him. And so I've gone back on the plant-based diet, and one thing that's happened is that a year ago, my upper chamber in the heart was very dilated, and my doctor told me recently that when they did ultrasound, it had gone back to the normal size. And I told her, I think that there's two reasons that this may have happened. One is the plant-based diet, and second is my faith and my prayers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a powerful combination. And, you know, you bring up a good point, which I want to follow up on. Number one, it's really important when people are listening to information about diet to recognize that we are each unique. And for you, clearly having a 90% raw diet made a tremendous, almost miraculous impact on your health. That's not the case for somebody else because their constitution or their situation is different. So I think, you know, one thing that's very helpful for people to remember is that they are a unique being in this world and that the diet that's going to fit best with them is they're going to have to discover with the help of, you know, qualified experts and reading and educating themselves. So I would just make that point. And then you mentioned prayer, and I think that that's also a really important part of diet. You know, when I talk to my patients about diet, I also talk to them about, you know, eating mindlessly is is a way to just get nutrients and information, but it deprives you of the more nurturing experience of eating. If we think about the fact that we have the privilege to eat these beautiful food in front of us, and we incorporate some gratitude and some thankfulness and some mindfulness around eating, we not only taste and appreciate our foods to a greater extent, but in doing that, we reaffirm the, you know, the very core beauty and essence and spirit of who we are in the world, and that is really healing, too.
Right.
So I think that connection is important.
Beautifully said. Now, in your very popular books, one, The Definitive Guide to Cancer, and also The Definitive Guide to Thriving After Cancer, you outline key bodily pathways that are tightly linked to the risk of cancer. Can you describe these bodily pathways?
Yeah, so the, you know, this can take a long time because that's why we wrote the book, so I'm going to just highlight them. And again, I would encourage people, if they would like the books, to purchase them. They're very inexpensive. We also have a website, 5tothriveplan.com, which goes over all of these pathways in a lot more detail. But for now, what I'll say is that these are five what I call superhighways of influence, meaning they're five bodily processes that are going on all the time, and the way and the health of each of these pathways has significant impact on our body's ability to move itself towards the healthy end of our continuum and away from the disease end of the continuum. So the first of these is the immune system, which obviously is our most important defense against not only infection, but when a cell starts to go bad and become somewhat cancerous, we need an intact immune system to be able to recognize that cell and destroy it before it can start to replicate into a tumor. So having an intact immune system is one key bodily pathway. A second one is a process called inflammation. So when we think about inflammation, we can think about having, let's say we you know, I don't know, slammed our hand in the door or something like that. That would hurt, and we would pull our hand out, and we'd see there's kind of redness, there's swelling, there's pain. That's all acute inflammation. So the body is doing everything it can to heal that area. So it's rushing blood to the area. It's activating various compounds, which in turn signal the immune cells to come in. It's causing cells to divide faster so it can heal up the injury. Perfect response to an acute injury. But in some situations, when the injury is not an acute thing like the door, but is more subtle and chronic, so mm-hmm. environmental toxins, eating foods that are not good for us and actually are very subtly damaging, chronic ill emotions, or being in a, not living in integrity with who we are, all these things can, over time, trigger the same kind of inflammatory response to a muted level. Mm-hmm. But when that muted inflammatory response persists day in, day out, day in, our body becomes chronically inflamed. And under that chronically inflamed environment, we still get the same signals. Maybe they're not as strong, but we still get more cell division. We get more blood supply to the area. Our immune system gets dysregulated. And these are all perfect setups, if you will, for the growth of cancer. So chronic inflammation is a really important bodily system.
Mm-hmm.
So we have immunity and inflammation. Number three is hormonal balance. And this has to do with primarily with our stress response. And, you know, we have a certain axis in our body, which acts as a barometer of our stress. And when we're under stress, be it physical stress from illness or psychological or spiritual stress from distress, we set off this axis and we change the chemical milieu of our body. And the chemicals that are associated with the stress response have also been associated with increased tumor proliferation or increased cancer growth.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that chronic kind of unaddressed stress can precipitate tumor growth. So that's the third system.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth is insulin resistance, which I mentioned earlier, and this is, again, a pre-diabetic condition. It's rather complex, but it has to do with having a diet that's imbalanced towards refined carbohydrates mm-hmm. and saturated fats and having extra weight around especially the abdominal area, not getting enough exercise, not getting enough sleep. All of that can change the way our body metabolizes both sugar and insulin and can set up an environment that favors tumor growth. And then the fifth and final bodily system is kind of a combination of digestion and detoxification. You know, we're breathing in and eating cancer-causing chemicals all the time, and the only reason that's not resulting in cancer all the time is because our body is able to detoxify many of those chemicals to bind them up and to eliminate them. So we need to have adequate detoxification in order to do that. So the health of those five pathways is critical to helping to increase our resistance to cancer and all chronic disease. And fortunately, there's some really good ways to support the health of those five pathways.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting way to look at detoxing. I had never thought of that before, but you're very right. It's an interesting way, and it's interesting the way you've put these things together, I think. And you also then, in your books, outline key strategies for prevention. These are spirit, movement, diet, which we've talked about, dietary supplements, and rejuvenation. And can you give us some cancer prevention tips in the spirit strategy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is so fascinating, but and I'll just give you a couple highlights. So, for example, one of the things that we know is when, if we kind of imagine ourselves traveling down into our body and we go through our tissue, we get all the way down to a cell, mm-hmm. and we go into the cell, inside the cell, there's the nucleus, which is kind of the command center for our cell, and inside the nucleus, the pilot for that of that command center is our DNA, which is where our genes live. And these genes live coiled up inside, and that's called a chromosome. And the chromosomes, which have to be very secure and stable in order to resist mutation or damage to the DNA. So one thing we know about cancer is that it involves at some point damage to the DNA. So one of the ways we can protect or stabilize the chromosome against DNA damage is with these protective caps that are kind of fit on the end of our chromosomes. These are called telomeres.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out that when people have the experience of gratitude and they feel very grateful for their day, for who they are, whatever it takes to feel that sense of gratitude, they actually make those caps on their chromosomes longer and stronger. So what this means is that feeling grateful will actually improve your resistance on a DNA level against mutation. And that's just one example. It's just some fascinating research that our emotional, spiritual state actually has effects that translate all the way down to the very inside of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And that I like, because it gets into the holism again.
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
Yeah, and even, you know, if you think about just one other example, because I love this part too, but when people are feeling, when they're creative, so they're creative in their thought process, they are engaged in creative activities, music, listening to music, making music, art, all that, they actually improve their immune system. So their immune cells function better, and they're better able to recognize infection and to recognize and target cancerous cells. So that's another example of how our spirit, or the way in which we approach our life, has very physical translation.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I like that. And then, Dr. Altshuler, can you give us some cancer prevention tips about movement?
Yeah, so this one's been getting a lot of research lately for good reason, because the data is so compelling. In general, if you exercise, and I mean kind of putting a dedicated time period towards moving your body, at least a half an hour, at least 5 days a week, then you reduce your risk of most cancers by about 50%.
Wow.
And so that's pretty significant. What we know now is that the more you exercise and the more vigorously you exercise, the more benefit you get, even beyond that. So what this really means is that our bodies are meant to move, and that they're meant to be exercised, and that when we sit and are sedentary for too long, actually being sedentary is now called the new smoking because it has such risk for chronic disease. So we need to get up and move often, and we need to exercise with dedicated periods, and we always want to be building our fitness. So if we exercise and it's easy for us, then we need to, you know, bump it up a notch, and we just keep going so that exercise is always causing a little bit of stress on our body, and that stress translates into more exercise-toned muscles, which again changes the biochemistry of our body and moves our body towards health and away from disease.
Great. Good. Then, Dr. Altshuler, is there anything more you want to say about diet and cancer prevention?
You know, I think the only other thing I would say, in addition to this plant-based diet that we talked about, is just also we need to think about the overall number of calories that we consume. We as a society have gotten to a place where we overconsume. We have no idea of adequate portion size anymore. Like, you know, nowadays, if we go, say, I'm going to use a kind of a obvious example. If we were to go order a hamburger, we would expect to get, you know, a big half-pound patty and, you know, loaded up with stuff in between two buns, right? Back in the 1950s, you probably remember this, when people ordered a hamburger, they would get a hamburger about the size of what's now put into kids' meals.
Right.
And that was considered, you know, the right size hamburger. So our portion sizes have gotten so big, people don't even understand what they're supposed to eat anymore. And we overconsume calories. That's a huge stress on the body and sets up problems, including insulin resistance and inflammation. So in addition to a plant-based diet, we also need to be mindful about reducing our total caloric intake, which could be sort of just eating less and reducing our portions. It also can be accomplished by intermittent periods of very low caloric intake. So at the very least, not eating anything overnight and having what we call a 12-hour overnight fast. That's very, very helpful. And we also are finding there's some growing research that indicates that even taking a couple of days a week and minimizing our caloric intake very low, say between 600 and 800 calories 2 days in a row every week, is hugely impactful to our health. So that's called intermittent fasting. And there's just a variety of ways that we can lower intake. But the key is, however we do it, consuming fewer calories is much more healthy than over-consuming. Mm-hmm. And I would just footnote all this to say that I'm talking clearly about prevention. This is not necessarily right. appropriate to somebody who's, you know, experiencing mm-hmm. weight loss that they have no reason to account for and, you know, or is in the throes of very serious cancer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The next area that you have in the five key strategies are supplements. Are there supplements that we must have in order to prevent the risk or reduce the risk of cancer?
You know, there are, in our book, Definitive Guide to Thriving After Cancer, we outline kind of five top supplement categories that, based on our research, have the best data to support their cancer prevention effects. And so the five that we talk about are vitamin D. Mm-hmm. And vitamin D, you know, can your blood level can be measured when it should be measured, and then your supplementation should be matched to the blood level so that however much you need to get your blood level within normal range is the goal. Vitamin D is one. Good quality fish oil is another one if you don't eat fish on a regular basis, because the oils that are found naturally in fish are very anti-inflammatory. Of course, unfortunately, fish is very toxic now, so we have to make sure that mm-hmm. you're eating fish from clean waters, like off the coast of Chile or in Scandinavia or someplace where the fish are deep sea. They're not their flesh isn't so full of, unfortunately, chemicals that are otherwise found in fish.
Mm-hmm.
So it's vitamin D, fish oil. Antioxidants are another important category for prevention, not during treatment, but for prevention. Flavonoids, as I talked about, you can get not only in plant foods, but they can be extracted and put into dietary supplements. And then the last one is probiotics, which are healthy bacteria that live in our digestive tract and help to support our immune system and reduce inflammation, support digestion. So there's obviously lots of choices within those five categories, but those would be the five categories from my mm-hmm. research that have the most kind of universal mm-hmm. health benefits.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it interesting that these five are all also relatively recent concepts on the market, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they are, especially in this context. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of them have been known for a long time for other conditions.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, you're right. Actually, the research is certainly more recent.
Mm-hmm. The other question I had to do with vitamin D2 and 3, because mm-hmm. recently my current doctor discovered that I was low on vitamin D again, and she prescribed vitamin D2. I didn't know anyone used that anymore, but what I did was I got the emulsified 3, and I've been using that mm-hmm. because it's more easily absorbed into the body. And I didn't want to hurt her feelings, so I didn't tell her, but I've been taking the D3 emulsified. But do many people use the D2?
You know, not as many. D3 is much more common as a supplement because it's already, vitamin D has to go through several steps of activation.
Mm-hmm.
And vitamin D3 is more activated than vitamin D2.
Oh,
so it sort of saves the body some work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's generally more prescribed. It's the form that's most commonly found in dietary supplements, for
mm-hmm.
sure.
Mm-hmm. Then, Dr. Altshuler, what do you mean by rejuvenation, and why is this important?
You know, so rejuvenation, it actually includes a lot of different concepts, but it is essentially helping us to be less stressed, fundamentally, and to restore our energy. So there's lots of ways that we can do that. Of course, one is to sleep. Sleep is essential to our health, and sleep deprivation is very problematic. It it affects all those five key bodily pathways that I mentioned mm-hmm. very quickly and very mm-hmm. dramatically. And sleep deprivation is linked, in fact, to increased risk for cancer. So one of the first steps is for people to think about whether they're getting enough sleep. It should be at least 7 to 9 hours a night. And then whether the quality of that sleep is good. So do they wake rested? Are they able to sleep? Maybe they wake once during the night, but they're able to fall back asleep easily. That's all very important. And if they are having troubles, then they need to find ways to support their sleep. Ideally not through sleep medications, mm-hmm. but rather maybe they need to see a sleep specialist, make sure they don't have apnea, which can cause them to have very poor quality sleep. They can think about what we call sleep hygiene, which is to set up their environment, their home environment, in a way that facilitates good quality sleep, keeping your bedroom dark, cool, quiet. If they have any lights, like electronics, around the room, they should only be of the red color, because everything else disrupts mm-hmm. our brain's ability to keep ourselves into deep sleep. So these are, you know, that's one component of rejuvenation. Mm-hmm. And then we also include in rejuvenation things that rejuvenate our spirit, and in doing so, lessen our stress response. That includes creativity, that includes, you know, doing some self-evaluation and making sure that we're living a life that we're meant to live, that we're living with integrity. And these are all components that ultimately help us to feel more empowered, more content, more peaceful, and therefore more resistant to the mm-hmm. effects of stress, which we all are under.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Would you include meditation and prayer here?
Yes. I would include that here and in our category of spirit.
That's right.
Meditation mm-hmm. and prayer are absolutely two very important ways for us to feel, number one, that sort of peaceful sense of alert relaxation that we get when we are in those activities, involved in those activities. Mm-hmm. Prayer specifically also helps us to feel the connectedness that we all yearn for at a very deep level with life around us, with our purpose on the planet. And I think, you know, in that way kind of gives us a bit of a compass mm-hmm. for who and what we are on mm-hmm. this planet.
Mm-hmm. This has been so interesting. Now, tell us a little bit more about your books, services, any products you have, how the listeners can reach you, that kind of information.
Okay. Yeah, well, thank you. So the books, again, are Definitive Guide to Cancer, An Integrative Approach to Prevention, Treatment, and Healing. That's the big book. These are all available at bookstores and on Amazon. And then we have Definitive Guide to Thriving After Cancer, which is a smaller book that's meant to support people through their recovery and help them reduce their risk of recurrence. My co-author, Carolyn Gazella, and I have also translated a lot of those concepts onto a website called 5tothriveplan.com, and there's a lot of information there. We're actually in the process of building an interactive web-based program to help people personalize their recovery program, and people can learn about that on another website, which is thriveplan.com, so ithriveplan.com. And then finally, for some dietary supplements that people might be interested in, that we do have a way for people to access those supplements, and that is through, wow, I'm just blocking on the website at the moment, pureformulas.com, and they can go to pureformulas.com and then search Pro Thrivers. And what they'll see is a set of products that I've developed, and Carolyn and I have put together to kind of help people in all these five key pathways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are you available for consultation?
I do have consultations available through my office, my clinical practice, and that's naturopathic specialists. So our website, and there's some other naturopathic oncologists that work out of this office that also are wonderful. And our office is listenandcare.com, listenandcare.com.
Mm-hmm. And do you do consultation long distance, or do people need to be in the Arizona area?
Well, I do provide video consultations. I can only do that if people are also under the care of an oncologist,
mm-hmm.
because in that setting, I'm really providing them with supportive advice to mm-hmm. you know their program.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly, I can do that. And then, of course, we do have the office in Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Great. Do you have any parting words, Dr. Altshuler?
Well, you know, I guess my parting word would be just with gratitude to you, Carl. You've been doing this for a long time. You're obviously a living example of taking responsibility for your health and having, you know, gone through a lot yourself and emerged with greater vigor. So I thank you for all that you do.
Well, I thank you, Lise. This has been great. I've enjoyed it very much, and I've learned a lot of new information and a nice way of putting things together, and I know that it will be helpful not only to the radio listeners, but also to the people that come to the cancer website. So I thank you so much, and I appreciate this, and I wish you much continued success.
Well, thank you. My pleasure.
Thank you. I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show. And I hope some of the information will be useful to you. I invite you to my websites, holistichealthshow.com, where you will find all shows for the past 7 years under the blog. You will also find much of the research on natural ways to deal with cancer and other health conditions, and can sign up for my free monthly newsletter. On my website, beatlungcancer.net, you will find many of the 135 interviews from radio and television over the past 2 years about my book on treating lung cancer naturally and holistically when I was diagnosed 41 years ago next month and given 6 months to live by traditional medicine who offered chemo and surgery. This book was published in November 2012 and was a bestseller on Amazon. You will find endorsements of the book, a place to buy the book, and an earlier one from 2007 titled Healthy Holistic Aging, A Blueprint for Success. On my third website, you will find information on the Carl O'Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation, begun last year and currently in the phase of completing the website. This site is at www.holisticcancerfoundation.com. Information on how the foundation differs from others, board members, research on holistic natural ways to deal with cancer, including mental and spiritual interventions, interviews with cancer physicians and survivors, and more. If you would like to donate to the work I am supporting, there is a tab to donate, and I can offer you a tax exemption receipt if living in the United States. I also invite you to join me on Facebook at my Facebook page, www.facebook.com/Carl Helvey. On my Holistic Health Show page at www.facebook.com/pages/Holistic Health Show, and the Carl O'Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation page at www.facebook.com/beatlungcancernaturalalternative. On LinkedIn, I invite you to join me under my name, Dr. Carl O'Helvey. On Twitter, I invite you to join me at www.twitter.com/HolistHealthShow, HolistHealthShow. I wish you a great week, and I look forward to having you here in 2 weeks. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host.